it was a challenge to his presidency before he even became president. And 1 year on from the riot at Capitol Hill, Joe Biden marked the anniversary with a speech to the nation.
For the first time in our history, a president had not just lost an election, he tried to prevent the peaceful transfer of power as a violent mob breached the Capitol. But they failed.
The crowd marched on the heart of democracy in the U.S. to challenge the certification of the 2020 presidential election. Donald Trump claimed he'd been cheated.
And we're going to the Capitol.
And fueled by anger and lies, his supporters fought battles across Capitol Hill as they tried to stop Congress doing its job.
This wasn't a group of tourists. This was an armed insurrection.
But this moment, this challenge to American democracy, has not brought the country together. Instead, President Biden's speech just shows the fracture in U.S. politics.
We must decide, what kind of nation are we going to be? Are we going to be a nation that lives not by the light of the truth, but in the shadow of lies?
Many Republicans opted not to attend the event, some claiming Democrats were politicizing the attack, others because they were afraid of offending Donald Trump. The former president himself was due to hold a news conference in Florida on the anniversary. He cancelled. He was told it would look bad. He did issue a statement saying Joe Biden was using him to deflect from the awful job he was doing as president and was seeking to divide the country. Trump continues to claim without evidence that the election was stolen, that he won the election. And American democracy still has to come to terms with him, his supporters, and the day they stormed the Capitol. Alan Fisher, Al Jazeera, The White House.
So here's what we'll do this hour, inside and outside Capitol Hill, with John Hendren and Mike Hanna. Let's go inside first. Mike Hanna, who listened to that speech along with us a little bit earlier. I recall one of the many books written about President Trump was called Fire and Fury. There was a bit of that from Joe Biden today.
It was indeed. We have seldom seen President Biden so angry in terms of an address to the nation, singling out former President Trump as the real cause of what he described as a web of lies. He didn't even dignify the former president by using his name. He just referred repeatedly to the former president, accuse him of putting a power above principles, and accusing him of spreading lies for profit and for power. So very strong words from President Biden. But he was also careful to point out that the lie that the election was flawed in some way has been discounted by every single court in the country that it's come before. President Biden making particular reference to a series of court judgments ranging from federal courts to the Supreme Court itself, which has upheld that any claim about election fraud is a lie. Now, President Biden stressing that throughout his address to the nation, and yet, despite this fact, there is still the majority of Republicans, it appears, who continue to support former President Trump in his false claim, and who also continue to support him in attempting to whitewash exactly what happened on this day a year ago.
Thank you, Mike Hanna. Inside the Capitol building, and now outside with John Hendren. Voters protect democracy. So there were pro-democracy gatherings today. Tell us what it was like and show us around.
That's right. I'm right in front of what is to be a pro-democracy rally supported by dozens of organizations. And there will be Democrats here speaking, liberal and progressive Democrats, no Republicans, all out here. And this is really a call for voting rights, to support voting rights, which is something Chuck Schumer, the leader in the Senate for the Democrats, is trying to do right now. He's trying to seize this January 6th event and use it to propel voting rights as one state after another actually restricts more voting rights. So it's right here that you'll be seeing, in a matter of hours, a group of people gathering together. I can tell you it's a whole lot more peaceful here on the Mall than it was a year ago at this time today. But later on, we're going to start seeing other protesters, people who don't agree with the folks right here. And that's at the D.C. jail, a group called Look Ahead America. And that's only one of 15 across the country from Hawaii to Florida. And the reason they're at jails is that that's where the January 16 rioters, many of them still are right now. Many of them have been arrested, about 700 plus out of the estimated 2,500 people who participated in breaching the Capitol back there. And that might get a little more saucy, but that doesn't happen until a little after dawn, several hours from now. But so far, it's been very peaceful. As a matter of fact, more peaceful than I would say on a regular day. But we may see that change over the course of the afternoon after these fiery speeches.
Right. Okay. So then more with John Hendren later on in the day as we see what happens with those protests. Thank you, John. Always pleased to welcome Ian Bremmer to Al Jazeera, president of the Eurasia Group and Zero Media. He's on Skype from New York. Hi, Ian.
Good journey.
There's so much to talk about. I want to talk about Joe Biden's speech first of all. What did you make of his decision to, well, attack Donald Trump, if not mention him by name, and whether that actually just plays into Donald Trump's game wars of words, I should say.
Look, I mean, I agree with a lot of what President Biden had to say, but of course the backdrop is that over the course of the last year, we've done nothing to address the underlying political divisions. They're so much sharper in the United States than in any other advanced industrial democracy around the world today. The election in 2020 was badly broken by the sitting president, and he's doing everything he can to ensure that 2024 will be as bad, if not worse. And so when Biden at the beginning of the year said America's back, it's hard to comport America is back with the speech we heard today that democracy is in crisis and we have to address it. These are really big domestic challenges, and the country is very deeply divided.
They are, and not to be, well, I am going to be pessimistic here. How on earth can anyone, Joe Biden or otherwise, fix those sorts of divisions or try to bridge them when you have got a large majority of people who think that storming the Capitol a year ago was okay, that it was the right thing to do, in fact?
Well, look, the political divisions in the United States have not emerged over 1 or 2 years. They've been growing for decades. And so addressing them will be a matter of a generation, not just one president. I do think that putting over $1 trillion into infrastructure will matter. I think that if they can move on their Build Back Better plan, even a small piece of it, that redistribution is necessary. And I also think that demographic changes in the United States that will make the United States a minority white country by 2045 will also change the political realities of the country, and political parties will need to adapt to that. But none of those things are going to help us for 2024. And that's the problem, because the midterm elections coming up this year in November, the Republicans are going to win the House. They may win the Senate. They're probably going to win a lot of key state legislatures and gubernatorial races that are critical for certifying the 2024 election. And Trump, who continues to persist in advancing the lie that the election was stolen, rigged against him, is running the Republican Party. Yeah. And the near-term challenge, that's your pessimism, that's not getting addressed even by Biden's speech today.
Let's talk about something else in the interim, and that is the actual January 6th investigation, the committee. A lot of point made that it is led by a prominent Republican, Liz Cheney. But again, what do you actually expect that to, well, what will it achieve as far as accountability goes?
Oh, nothing and nothing else. Right. It's not led by a prominent Republican. It's led by a formerly prominent Republican who was removed from her leadership position because she persisted in publicly attacking former President Trump against the will of the majority of the party and the base. That's the problem. I mean, the people that actually went against Trump on the election results, are a lot of them are getting primaried. Several of them are saying that they're resigning and not going to even seek re-election. As I said, this is unfortunately, I mean, January 6th, the lessons that have been learned have only been learned by one side of the political aisle. There are, I mean, a majority of people that support Trump believe that the people that occupied the Capitol building a year ago were patriots, that were there to ensure that the election would not be stolen. And they believe that their principal adversaries are not external agents. They're the political opponents inside their own country. Democracies, healthy democracies, do not persist for long when you have that kind of reality.
Mm. You've talked about, and rightly, a lot of big picture issues, democracy as a whole. I wonder how much the American people are listening to it. They've got so much on their plate at the moment already. You know, just COVID on its own is more than enough to deal with. We have a day like this where it becomes prominent again. Sometimes the January 6th committee will make some headlines and it'll be in the news, but I wonder if this, if they realise how big and important this is.
I think they recognise that it's important, but they see it as important for fundamentally different reasons. You have to recognise the United States today is the most powerful country in the world. And that power is not going away. Its percentage of global GDP is the same now as it was 20 years ago, a period of time when the Europeans went down, the Japanese went down, all this new technology, markets hitting record levels. And yet U.S. economic inequality is higher than the rest of the G7. And identity politics, you have a whole bunch of undereducated white men who feel rightly but they're losing a lot of status. You put those two things together in the information echo chamber that's magnified by social media, and then you weaponize it with someone like Donald Trump, a narcissist completely unfit for office who's only interested in promoting his own personal agenda, you get January 6th. I mean, it would be surprising if that wasn't going on in the United States. Most Americans believe it's going to happen again. I agree with that.
My God. Ian Bremmer, we love talking to you. Thank you so much for your time. Do appreciate it.
Good to see you guys. Happy New Year.
You too.